Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Hi, 714, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Glad to be back. Glad to be talking to Jeff Nowak, WWO Saints sideline reporter and digital producer, about the Saints and training camp. How you doing there, Jeff?
I'm doing good, Tommy. You know, last time I was on with Dave, I was like, Dave, I love you, but I can't talk to you again until Tommy's back. It's not right. So I'm glad you've returned to us.
Well, Tommy. Thank you. I was thinking about you and the other guys at training camp, because I was out doing some stuff in the yard and it was just miserably hot, incredibly hot, crazy hot.
Yeah, you know, there were some cooler days at the beginning. You know, it was like the weather was giving us like a ramp up period. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the last couple of days in pads. You know, yesterday it was weird because it kind of started cooler, and I thought, oh, maybe we'll luck out, and then the kind of haze burned off, mm-hmm. and it was one of the hotter days we've had. So they're going to practice inside today, I believe, and I think that'll be a welcome thing for the players, because they've been getting their work in. Last year they were in California, so even these second year players that didn't get the taste of it last year, and the rookies, obviously, they're having an adjustment period.
What's gotten your attention so far?
Yeah, you know, there's been a few things. It's interesting to watch the quarterback competition. You know, I think over the first week, we've seen that Spencer Rattler kind of came in ahead of the curve, which isn't a surprise. He came in as a second-year player. Looks like a second-year player. Tyler Shuck. Looks like a rookie. You know, he's been a little tentative. I haven't really seen him be as aggressive as I want him to be. You know, when you're targeting your star receivers and they're in one-on-one coverage, I want to see a ball that gives that guy a chance to go make a play. There have been a little too many safe throws for my liking, a few too many scrambles. So that's one thing. But, you know, I've been impressed with the defense. I've been impressed with the defensive line. Devon Godshaw, which, you know, people in Louisiana will remember, obviously was at LSU way back when, played for the Patriots the last few years. Saints traded for him. You know, we've been hearing, it's everyone we talk to on the offensive line or defensive line, you know, in a league full of big, strong guys, is like in awe of the size and the strength that he brings at that nose tackle position. And that's going to be important for this team, because, you know, one of the biggest issues for them last year was the inability to stop the run. And when you can't stop the run, you can't do anything, right? Like, you can't ask your guys to cover forever. You can't, and when you can't stop the run, you have to devote extra bodies to the run game, so you leave guys on islands more often, and it's just this cascading effect of your defense. You have the other team is constantly in second and third and short, so you can't get the pass rush going, so the sack numbers are down. So it really all starts there. And so the more I watch Devon Godshaw, the more I watch Julian Blackman, the guy they brought in to replace Tyrann Mathieu, the more fortunate it feels that they were able to bring those guys in a season where, you know, they didn't really have a choice. They needed a nose tackle, so they went and found one, and he just happens to be a really good fit in the scheme. You know, they needed a safety desperately, and they happened to find a guy with 5 years of experience, 61 starts. He's got a ball hawk mentality, and you can see that. He already has an interception on a really impressive play. So, you know, two of the biggest questions, okay, what are the quarterbacks going to look like? What is this new defense going to look like? And so far, I think the defense is looking like a group that can, you know, help this team win more games than maybe they're being projected to right now.
What can you tell in full pads about the offensive line against this defense?
Yeah, you know, we've seen 2 days of it. You know, I didn't get to watch the one-on-one reps yesterday because they did them. Kellen's an efficiency guy, so mm-hmm. you know, there were three different sets of one-on-ones going on at the same time. You know, you had wide receiver, defensive, or cornerback. You had tight end, running back, safety, linebacker, and then you had offensive line, defensive
line.
Wait,
different parts of the
field? Yes,
makes sense. I guess
it's great for the players. Yeah. It's not great with the people with just two eyeballs that aren't recording it. So you can't.
Yeah, that's not.
I can't really speak to what happened with the one-on-one. Steve Geller was over there watching, and he gave some notes. There's some clips on Twitter I was able to pick up and watch, mm-hmm. but. You know, I think the physicality this year is going to be upgraded, particularly for Trevor Penning. Like, you watch him at the guard spot, and it's very clear why, you know, they made that switch. They chose to make that switch. He's excited about the switch because, you know, his physicality at that position is really going to shine because there's just not a lot of space there. Like, he's able to just kind of, like, home in on a guy, go hit him, be physical, and not have to worry about, you know, protecting space, protecting both sides of it, of the rush, you know, playing too far outside, getting beat inside, vice versa. He can really just get downhill a lot of the time, and you've seen that. And again, like last year, the offensive line was a big weakness, but it wasn't because of the players on the offensive line. It was because of the absence of players on the offensive line. And I still think this group, you know, with four first round picks and a high second round pick, can be a strength of this group. Now, I also think that going against the Saints defense every day in practice in this kind of confusing 3-4 scheme that's going to involve a lot more blitzing, a lot more stunts, is going to be good for that group to go against. And I think the defensive line really kind of got after him on the first day in pads, which makes sense. You know, they get the physicality for the first time, and the offense has to adjust to that. But I thought the offensive line really kind of held up well yesterday. So we'll see over the next week where both these groups are, I think.
All right, Jeff, we'll talk quarterback. We come back. Tommy Tucker, WWL, glad to be back talking to Jeff Nowak, WWL Saints sideline reporter, digital producer, a Hall of Fame game tonight, Saints' first preseason game, about 12 or 13 days away, I think it is. We'll take a break for traffic. Be right back, WWL. The NFL gets started tonight, Hall of Fame game. We'll watch it for about 2 minutes and then turn it off, but at least it'll be a return to football. 7:25 now, Jeff Nowak joins us, WWL Saints sideline reporter and digital producer. Jeff, what would the starting offensive line look like right now? Take me from tackle to tackle.
Yeah, so it's going to look the same as it looked in OTAs and minicamp. We haven't seen really any change. We haven't seen any rotation. And I think that's telling of, you know, the confidence level they have in those guys. If they felt like one of them was really struggling in a position switch, then they probably would be moving guys around. But as of right now, you have the rookie, the number 9 pick, Kelvin Banks at left tackle. You have Trevor Penning at left guard. He's obviously a guy who started at left tackle 2 years ago, started at right tackle last year. Now
he's
at left guard.
You're talking about him being inside and less room, correct?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So he's spent pretty much his whole NFL career at tackle, didn't get a single rep at guard until this year. So it's a big switch. It's a big change.
And seems to be doing well.
Yes. Right. I mean, 2 days into padded practice, so there's a lot of time to identify struggle points. But as of now, I think he's doing solid. He did have a false start yesterday. And one thing that's interesting is Kellen Moore and this kind of regime, when a guy makes a penalty, when he false starts, he has to come off the field. So there was a moment in team drills yesterday where Trevor false started, and he had to kind of like jog off the field. And the point is to kind of make him sit with that to understand, like, okay, there is a consequence, and then, you know, it doesn't train bad habits. So he's at left guard.
What is his quickness like? Not to get too technical here, Jeff, but when it comes to pulling and things like that, because that's not about speed as much as quickness, right?
You know, it's tough. Without the All-22, it's tough to see to get a good read on the pulling. But he gets off the line well. I think he's not thinking as much at guard. He's able to just kind of fire off the ball a lot more. And so I think that's been helpful for him. And then you got Eric McCoy at center, Cesar Ruiz at right guard, no change there. And then Taliese Fuaga, for last year's first-round pick, started all 17 at left tackle. But he came out of Oregon State as a right tackle. It's where he's played his entire college career. So he's back over at right tackle, a position he's a little bit more comfortable at. And, he's looked very good as well. So, and again, like, this is a group that should be a strength. When you invest that much capital into a group, you need that group to play like a group that has four first round picks on it, you know, like, so they need that. And I think that's, if this season is going to go better than the prognosticators are saying it will, it's going to be because you have a really, really effective offensive line and you make life a lot easier on the quarterback and the run game.
Let's talk about tight end.
Yeah, tight end, you know, it was a concern for me going into camp just because of how thin the position is with Taysom Hill and Foster Moreau still out with injury. Don't plan on either of those guys. Foster seems to be a little
further
ahead.
You broke up a little bit. Foster Moreau and who?
Taysom Hill,
right.
They're both working back from knee injuries, obviously, that suffered last year. So they're out until they can get back on the field.
Is one closer than the other to being in? Because I know Taysom's got a while left, right?
Yeah, I think Foster, I think you'd expect Foster to be on the field before the end of camp. Taysom might be more into the regular season, but it's just it's a timeline thing right now, and we just don't know.
Okay.
So that means it's really thin at the top with Juwan Johnson, and Juwan went off the field with an injury yesterday.
It's been reported
that it was a groin injury, nothing major, should probably keep him out a couple days, which is a positive result. But, you know, it's like when you look at that, that's what I was saying going into camp, like the second you take Juwan off the top of that list, it gets real thin real fast. You're talking about like Jack Stahl, Michael Jacobson, Maliki Matavau was a seventh-round pick. Trayton Welch is out there, but he also got hurt yesterday. So, you know, it's a position that, like, they were looking at Noah Fant. He came in for a visit. And you understand why, because, you know, it's too important of a position in this offense to say, like, oh, you either have this guy or you have nobody you trust in the passing game. And that's kind of where you're at right now. So we'll have to see what happens over the next few days, because while it's, you know, you don't want to be without Juwan, it will be an opportunity for some of these depth guys to maybe show, hey, I've got a little bit more to offer than you might have seen in the past. So we'll be watching that the next couple of days.
Yeah, them guys tend to have to block occasionally too, those tight ends. Tell me about this 6'9" tackle that's in camp. What's he looking like? That's sometimes that can be too big. It can be too tall, 6'9".
Yeah, if you're 6'9", you really want to be a tackle. You don't see a lot of 6'9" guys at guard. His name's Robert Mendoza. They signed him after a tryout earlier in the week. The interesting thing about him, and we haven't seen him much, he was out there for the first time yesterday, is he was a college teammate of Tyler Shuck at Louisville last year, but also a college teammate of Mason Tipton at Yale, because he started at Yale, transferred to Louisville. So there's that familiarity. It never hurts to have familiarity with the quarterback when you're looking at an offensive lineman. But he's a big dude. I haven't seen him get into team reps yet. I think he'll probably start working in with the third team at some point. They cut Josh Ball to make room for him, so they clearly liked what they saw out of him.
He's got to stand out on a field of giants. He's got to stand out at 6'9", does he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's the tallest offensive lineman now. You know, in him next to Trevor Penning, Trevor's about 6'7", 6'8". So, yeah, I mean, those two guys, they could probably lift up a car if you need them to.
I feel like I'm in kindergarten. All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again. And you can come on with Dave if for whatever reason I'm incapacitated. It's like Miss America, okay? The second person comes up, and it's okay. Thank you, sir. Jane Cooper joins us. We come back, chair of the French Quarter Management District, as we'll continue to talk about as the garbage turns in the French Quarter. Well, actually, it's not turning because it's getting picked up. 7:31, 29 till 8, traffic, news and all that. Ian McNulty, one of my, Ian Ozan, you take a week off and it takes you a while to get back into the swing of things. You know what I'm saying? Ian Ozan now with WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Going to be hot in summertime, maybe a chance for showers like always. Somebody texted in and said, reason why the mayor has an French Quarter contract, Troy Henry, Oliver Thomas are related.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Cousins, whatever. Look, it doesn't matter whether they're cousins, because here's my thing. Whether you're cousins, it shouldn't preclude you from doing business if it is the best deal, nor should you do the deal with your cousin or with somebody's friend's cousin just because they're somebody's cousin. So I guess in a way that could be relevant, in a way I don't think, because it all depends on when it comes to tax dollars. You put it out to bid, you get the best person that can provide the best service at the best price, and you go from there. With that, Jane Cooper joins us, chair of the French Quarter Management District, to talk about the latest goings on. Good morning, Jane. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm good.
Let's talk about the latest. Where do we stand with, because a lot of people that, you know, don't live in the French Quarter, they know of this, and it's like, oh, Lord, here we go again. Tell me where you, as the chairman of the French Quarter Management District, sit with this and what the situation is with trash pickup in the quarter.
Sure. It is so complicated.
It shouldn't be.
So unnecessary.
Exactly.
Right. So this week, our board of commissioners, our board of directors, approved and I executed a contract between French Quarter Management District and Ivy Waste to pick up to provide sanitation services in the French Quarter through December 22nd. Now, on a parallel track, there was court action and court review around an injunction that was filed by a business owner and a resident in the French Quarter. That case was heard by the Louisiana Supreme Court, which of course is the highest court in our state, yesterday, and they ruled that the mayor's emergency declaration contract with Henry Consulting was invalid, which then puts our valid contract in place and allows Ivy Waste to continue services as the sole sanitation provider in the French Quarter.
Let me take a step back, Jane. They have the French Quarter, and they have garbage, and it needs to be picked up. How did it get so complicated from there? Because it would seem like you just have a bid process, and then whoever wins the bid has the contract. If they live up to the bid, if they live up to the contract that they signed, then they pick the garbage up and everything's fine. If not, then you take other steps. Tell me how this happened. How did we get here?
I think you'd have to ask the mayor that question.
Okay. Well, you know the step. Well, from your standpoint, how did we get here? What forced you? What allowed you? Well, what forced you to get a new contract or to sign? You
understand? Right. What allowed FQMD? Yeah, is that our state delegation, primarily Senator Harris and Representative Alonzo Knox, were concerned that we would reach a point collectively in the French Quarter where there would be no sanitation services. So in their wisdom, in the last legislative session, they both sponsored legislation and both bills were signed by the governor, which gave French Quarter Management District the ability to go out with a request for proposal, which we did, mm-hmm. a fair and transparent process, and ultimately select a vendor that met those criteria and sign a contract with them. That was the process that we followed. And, you know, as I look today in my crystal ball for the day, I mean, it's a good thing that FQMD went through that process, because at the end of the day, we know with Satchmo Fest coming up, particularly, you know, we have a solid sanitation service contract in place.
So as it stands now, Ivy Waste, as selected by French Quarter Management District, is going to continue to pick up the waste in the French Quarter. And now what happens with the courts?
There's some initial legislation that's going to be heard in early August from the initial termination letter, is my understanding. I'll tell you, Tommy, I've been trying to follow our process and our next steps and keep my head, you know, my focus on that.
Right. And getting the garbage picked up.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, there could still be developments today, I suppose, with the city in terms of any changes. But we're very pleased with the ruling from the Supreme Court and happy to see Ivy Waste out on the streets, which I live in the French Quarter, and I've already seen them out this morning.
You can't say this, Jane, so I'm gonna. If only half as much effort had been put toward fixing things as opposed to screwing things up. I can say that. You can't. Thank you, Jane Cooper.
All right, thank you.
You can laugh at it, but you can't say anything. Jane Cooper, chair of the French Quarter Management District. I mean, just think about Mayor Cantrell, really. If half of the effort that she spent with the Wisner Trust with this French Quarter thing had been spent toward fixing things instead of finagling with things that just made everything worse, that hurt the taxpayers, that had nothing to do with anything. She went out of her way to screw it up. There you go. 7:51, 9 till 8. I'm getting calls about the airline overpass and entrance ramp and all that stuff. So we'll talk to Scott Boyd from DOTD when we come back. Right now, traffic, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back from vacation. I was doing some driving around, and I got some texts today and some calls, so we thought we'd reach out to Scott Boyle, our friend, district engineer and administrator for Louisiana Department of Transportation Development. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Tommy, good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Let me tell you, I've been doing some stuff on having to go some place on Metairie Road, and I think you guys are doing an extraordinary job there with minimizing the, distraction or minimizing the congestion. I think you're doing a heck of a job out there. Tell me what the status is of that project.
Well, that's a mill and overlay project, Tommy. We had to be really careful. That corridor runs a lot of traffic, and in order to get that project on, we certainly have to be strategic when we can do lane closures, when we can do full closures. So, you know, we do this on all our jobs. That's why typically when we work on the interstate, we only do lane closures at night just because of the sheer amount of traffic. So certainly there's a lot of planning that goes in to these projects. I mean, they have to get done, and progress sometimes is uncomfortable, but we have to balance that, and we certainly are very mindful about minimizing those disruptions to people's daily lives.
And I'm driving into the belly of the beast on that one, so you're doing a good job. I just wanted to tell you that. Let's talk about the airline overpass. I forgot how we refer to that. What do we call it?
This is the exit ramp from I-10 West to
Airline.
US 61
right.
Airline Highway. That one's been closed for the past two months. This was the garbage truck incident that everybody's familiar with. We set up the emergency shoring.
I saw that
month.
Yesterday. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We got the garbage truck out of there. Now we have our contractor. He came in on Monday. We're starting to cut that bad steel column that was severely damaged, and we're already working to get that column replaced. At the very least, weather permitting, we're going to have that ramp that's been closed for the better part of 2 months. We're going to have that back open by the end of August.
All right, and to be clear, those supports don't make it strong enough for anybody to drive on. They make it strong enough for the contractor to work on. Am I accurate there or not?
That is correct. Yeah, we certainly we don't want anybody on that ramp. We want to keep everybody safe. We don't want to have anything worse than that's already happened. So that was just to support that structure, extract that garbage truck up, and get the contractor in there to be able to work and repair those damaged members that had occurred from this crash.
That's what I wanted to have you on to talk about, because you see the supports and it looks as though, and I saw them yesterday, everything's fine. Why not open it up? Well, because the supports are there only to make it safe for the contractor until it's permanently repaired, which should be by weather permitting the end of August. And the weather's been cooperating so far. Scott, are you on schedule, or how would you say?
We're on schedule, Tommy, and we're looking to deliver a surprise with this project. We certainly...
Well, don't ruin it.
Very conservative.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin the surprise, Scott.
I know, and we very conservative with our completion estimates, but we're going to be on track by the end of the month, so it's going to happen, and I look forward to talking to you about it later on down the road.
All right, end of August, maybe a surprise. Earlier in August, we'll see. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Scott Boyle with DOTD. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Dr. Brent Wallace, Chief Medical Officer of People's Health, about healthy eating. Then we're going to talk to Jeff Palermo about LSU. We'll wrap it up. Talk with Alice Hoyt, a board-certified food allergist, about kids in school and allergies.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.